Please hear this reading from the book of 1 Kings, the 19th chapter, verses 3 through 15. Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how he killed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, "So may the gods do to me, and more also, if I do not make your life like the life of one of them by this time tomorrow." Then he was afraid. He got up and fled for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah. He left his servant there, but himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a solitary broom tree. He asked that he might die. It is enough now, my Lord. Oh, take away my life, for I am no better than my ancestors. Then he lay down under the broom tree and fell asleep. Suddenly, an angel touched him and said to him, "Get up and eat." He looked, and there at his head was a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. He ate and drank and lay down again. The angel of the Lord came a second time, touched him and said, "Get up and eat, otherwise the journey will be too much for you." He got up and ate and drank, and then he went into the strength of that food for 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the Mount of God. At that place, he came to a cave and spent the night there. Then the word of the Lord came to him saying, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He answered, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away." He said, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Now there was a great wind so strong that it was splitting mountains and breaking rocks in pieces before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of sheer silence. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. Then there came a voice to him that said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He answered, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away." Then the Lord said to him, "Go return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. When you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael as king over Aram." These are the words of Scripture. May we be blessed with understanding. Will you pray with me? Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight. Lord, we have prepared, so send your power. We have studied, so send your anointing. It is in Jesus the Christ's name we pray. Amen. I want to hang my homiletical Oxfords on this title for this Sunday, Called Again. Have you ever felt like a failure? Oh, I'm sorry. My friends tell me that I am a bit abrupt and get carried away, a little bit overbearing. My name is Elijah, the original Eazy-E from the East Side, though life hasn't been that easy since that wicked King Ahab ascended to the throne. Y'all know about wicked kings, don't you? But more on him later. But I stopped by Old South today to share some things I learned about faithfulness. A message came to me from Queen Jezebel that said, by tomorrow I would be dead. So I ran for my life. Call it fear, call it cowardice, I call it wisdom. Because death was certain, or so I thought. While the threat on my head loomed for quite some time, being a prophet and all, this seemed different. It seemed so sure, so I ran. If you know anything about the Ahab and Jezebel administration, is that Jezebel often functions in conjunction with Ahab. They usually serve in lockstep. I wonder, what did Ahab tell her about me? Did he tell her I'm a prophet of the Most High God? Did he tell her how I talk to widows in Zarephath and heal and preach? Did he tell her about the reforms that are supposed to take place? Because we won. There was a deal that was made over on Mount Carmel in which I said that, you know, whoever is God, let them be God if they send fire upon a sacrifice. And it was Elohim, not Baal. Elohim sent the fire. So, but here is this threat. So I wonder what he told her about me, but more about that later. I can't get into that right now. But truly, aside from running for my life, worried if I too would be the next one to die at the hands of the police, I mean, this administration, I was disappointed. All that work, all that showmanship, all those signs for nothing, all that showing of God's kindness and God's love and God's strength, all of that power for naught, because the truth of the matter is Baal is not gone. And in fact, it seems that as many who were defeated, there are so much more that remain. So after dropping off my servant at Beersheba in Judah, a whole nother country, I went into the wilderness and I asked to die. I didn't want to die like the other prophets, a bloody spectacle with my head on a spike for all to see. I didn't want my story, I didn't want to go out like that. I didn't want my story to end by the hands of Ahab and Jezebel, a way to make me an example, a way to videotape, to capture my death. A way to make me an example to those who would dare speak out of line. I had become a symbolic representation of Elohim worship in the land of Israel. My name has become myth and synonymous with challengers of empire, and I couldn't bear to think of potential defeat. So I ran and I came to the wilderness and went to sleep, and then an angel came to me and told me to eat. I didn't feel like it, but I was really too tired to argue. So there, and you know, there was also my favorite food. There was cake. I don't know where it came from, but all I know is that it was there, as if this was a prepared place for me. Almost as if it was waiting for me. And so I went back to sleep after eating and drinking some water, hoping I wouldn't wake up. Praying I wouldn't wake up to see another day, but I did. And could you believe that same angel was there again, saying for me to eat and drink again? And once again, I wasn't feeling like arguing, and so I did. But this time, the angel said something different. The angel said that the journey is too great for me. And boy, were they right. It seems that I had been fighting and fighting for the worship of Elohim, but there wasn't any change. Preaching and reminding all that the Lord our God is one, but seemingly things were the same. You know how that feels like, provoking, marching and fighting for justice, and it seems like it's the same climate. So I ask once again, have you ever felt like a failure? like you are no better than the people that have come before you, like you are caught in an endless cycle of fighting and pushing and pulling, a continuous uphill journey, taking two steps forward and five steps back, a journey without an end in sight. I heard a professor in Atlanta by the name of Dr. Teresa Fry Brown label this as justice fatigue, and my sister up in glory, Fannie Lou Hamer, names this as being sick and tired of being sick and tired. So I migrated again, really from the wilderness to this cave, because I really wanted to get away from this nagging angel. I found a cave, and then the word of the Lord came to me. Could you believe that the word of the Lord came to me? Who had the nerve to ask me what I was doing there? And to be honest, I didn't know. Geographically, I didn't know, but emotionally, I knew. I knew that I was tired and that I had been very zealous for the Lord. I was serious about this thing called religion. And for what? For people who forsook the Lord, for people who committed murder, who lied and stole, and who were just on Ahab's side, who cheated. I was at the point of, what am I doing this for? Asking the question, what am I doing this for? And from what I hear, I'm the only one doing it. Me, I'm the only one preaching. I am the only one standing against Ahab and Jezebel. I am the only one confronting false prophets. Me, the only one left. Would you believe that they call me the troubler of Israel? So not only am I a little bit angry, just a little bit perturbed, and not only am I a little bit scared, and I'm a little bit also disappointed, but I am also lonely. Because who do I talk to? Where are my companions? What shoulder do I cry on? Where are the prophets? Where are they? Where do I get rest and be safe? And God did not directly respond to my charges, but told me to stand on a mountain. I was guessing there God would give me some big breakthrough, maybe give me an answer, or maybe just take me away from all of this. I wasn't sure, but I felt like I needed to follow. So I went and I waited. And there on that mountain, there was a great wind, an earth-shattering wind, a rock-shattering wind. But there was nothing there. I didn't hear anything in the wind. And then there was an earthquake. The ground started to shake underneath my feet, but still no answer. And really, I started to become a little bit perturbed. If I can testify this Sunday morning, I became a little bit worried, because the Lord is supposed to pass by. And then there was a fire, and I knew that this was it, because I just called fire down from heaven. So this was my sign. This is the sign that, you know how y'all, you know, have Sagittarius. Well, you know, I was, you know, this was my sign, fire. But God wasn't in the fire. And then, after all of that, eerie silence, nerve-wrenching silence began to surround me, and then I heard a voice that I knew was God, and it came to me. It was also heard and experienced. I couldn't explain what it sounded like, but I knew what I felt, and it was distinct, it was still, and I knew it was the Lord. No one had to tell me, I just knew. I was asked again by this voice, what was I doing there? So I gave the voice the speech again that I had given before. You would have thought that the Lord heard me the first time. But here it is. I have been very zealous for the Lord, et cetera, et cetera. But this time the Lord responded a little bit differently and told me to return. What? Return? But what about Ahab? And what about Jezebel? And what about all the false prophets and the idols and the political climate? I'm sorry, the sin. I'm sorry, never mind. What about all of that is happening around me? Return when there is a stake on my head? And this is what was told to me. Return and grab the oil to anoint another king. Hazael, king of Syria, and to then anoint Jehu to be king of Israel, and then to anoint Elisha to be a prophet. I learned there that it wasn't my job to win, but it was my job to continue. That therefore my faithfulness did not just include the showboating and the sign keeping and the fire calling, but also in the living and the breathing, in the drinking and the eating, in the self-care of life. The Lord made no guarantees on whether or not I would die at the hands of Ahab, but the guarantee was that I would live long enough to see the next generation of leaders and that my work would not be in vain. I recited my story here today because I heard that there is someone out there that might feel like they are failing as they attempt to stand against the reign of this current administration. Justin told me about this current administration, and that there are others that feel so isolated that they just might be resentful of God, and that there are others about to quit before they have the full picture. Well, my kinspeople in Christ and creation, before you throw in the towel, understand this, that God often appears most unexpectedly and unpredictably. You see, I thought I was running for my life, but I ended up running towards my next calling. I thought I was running away from something or someone, but I was running into my next chapter. Chaos has a funny way of doing that. I thought that my job was to call the children of Israel back into covenant with God. Little did I know that I would too need to renew my yes, that I too was falling into the trappings of empire, that I too became idolatrous, not in terms of worshiping Baal, but began to worship the idea of winning. I made idolatry versus faithfulness a matter of flesh and blood, when in reality, it was a matter of the heart. And what I learned most aptly is that the journey towards faithfulness is filled with recallings, because we indeed get our priorities mixed up as we attempt to do good, so we are called again. Take it from me, faithfulness is a continuous call. A call to love mercy, a call to do justice, a call to stand against idolatry, even the worshiping of the idea of conquering, a call to stick to the assignment and to follow the voice of God. Our vocations, vocare, which means to call, continue to lead us down new paths and unexpected paths and stranger paths that were different than we thought originally, changing our minds and hearts along the way. But if you needed just a little bit more assurance, a little bit more boost in your faith as you too wait on the mountain, or you too sit in your cave, take it from my sibling in prophetic proclamation, Isaiah, who wrote, no weapon that is formed against you shall be able to prosper. Remember, my siblings in Christ and creation, that the same God that completes is the same God that calls, and the same God that called you towards justice is the same God that will help you go across your journey. So in the words of Lucy Eddy Campbell, since it is Women's History Month, who is the mother of gospel music, if when you give the best of your service, telling the world that the Savior has come, be not dismayed when they do not believe you. God will understand and God will say, well done. And if you needed another point to celebrate, remember, I was only supposed to live one day, but I ended up living 40 more. Sometime, and then my sister Lucille Clifton would say, come celebrate with me, that every day something has tried to kill me, but it's failed. Every day something has tried to take my life, but it has failed, and it will fail, but it is our job to continue. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.